Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're going no huddle.
With the Midday Show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
11 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, The Midday Show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line is open, 404-741-0929. You can follow us on social media as well. I'm on Twitter at TBM929, Randy at RandyMac81, and the station at 929. The Game coming up in about 25 minutes. I'm going to get into this conversation about Ronald Acuna and the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. They continue to hear people talk about being unhappy about Ronald Acuna being in the Home Run Derby.
Not unhappy, just scared.
You know what I always say? If you're scared, get a dog. You already have one, though.
Yes, I have a dog.
You got Delilah.
Yes.
So no need to be scared. Don't be scared.
All right, man. I mean,
if you're scared, go to church.
Yeah. Okay, Andy.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
Don't be scared for Ronald Acuna.
I'm not scared for him. I'm scared for us.
For us. Don't be scared.
Yeah, man.
Do not be scared. Fear not. I'll talk about why not to be worried about it.
I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch it and I'm going to root for him and everything. And I don't even watch the Home Run Derby anymore.
Oh, you watched it this year?
Yes, I will.
Freddie was in it last year. He didn't do very well.
Yeah.
And then he only hit 7 home runs in the second half of the season.
But let's add more context to it, though.
Because of the Home Run Derby.
He still played well.
He did still play well. All right. We'll get into that coming up at 11:20. And just, well, I understand the worries of it. I'm going to talk about the benefits of being in the Home Run Derby at the All-Star Game and what Ronald Acuna may be on the verge of doing. We'll get into that coming up in 25 minutes. Before we do that, though, NFL No Huddle every single day to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Madden ratings are out, Randy, for rookies. Are you ready for some of these ratings? Rookie ratings for the Falcons rookies, okay?
Listening.
You ready for this?
Listening.
Chris Lindstrom is a 70. This is out of 100.
Okay.
He's 70 out of 100.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, because if it was out of 75, he'd be doing great. Out of 100, that's a C-, unfortunately. Kendall Sheffield got a 68. John Kaminsky's a 67. Caleb McGarry's a 67. That's not good. He's a first-round draft pick.
Okay.
You think you'd be higher than some third- and fourth-round draft picks. Marcus Green's a 65. Jordan Miller's a 65. And Quadri Allison is 64.
And that's a tell-all, right?
There
that's,
you go.
That's the end-all, be-all right there.
Those are the ratings.
A Madden rating.
A Madden rating for guys who've never played a single game in the NFL.
Yes.
Now, here's the Madden ratings that matter. I just wanted to do that to set the deck to do this, okay? I went back and got the Madden ratings for Madden 2007.
Right.
This is coming off of the 2006 season,
mm-hmm.
where you had a very good year.
Right.
A very good year in 2006.
Right.
The tight end ratings for Madden 2007... There are 7 guys ahead of you.
Okay.
Now, your rating was a 92.
Really? That's out of 100.
It's out of 100, right. I think. I think they were still out of 100 back then. That's pretty good, man.
Back then.
Yeah. All the way back then when you played football. 92.
All right.
I think sometimes people might forget how good of a tight end you were.
No, I don't.
I think that they do.
Okay,
I think
though.
People around here maybe don't know that as well.
It's okay.
Because you don't really, I don't know, you're kind of, don't talk about it ever, kind of humble about it. It's kind of one of those things. I think you should walk around telling people you had a 92 rating more often.
Maybe I should get a shirt.
Randy McMichael, 92 rated
maybe
in 2007.
Maybe I should get a shirt. I won, Bo told me in the bullpen I won him a championship. So I'm like, appreciate you.
A lot of people can say that about you. Brian Gebhardt always says that.
Yeah.
Fantasy football. You were a great pickup. Between like 06 and 09
yeah.
in fantasy football.
They threw the ball, man.
Yeah, they would throw you the football. You should get a shirt that just says 92 out of 100.
Yeah, there we go. I like that.
Can you guess the 7 guys that were rated ahead of you?
Probably Tony.
He was number one. Wait. Well, okay, no. There's okay, yes. And Tony Gonzalez was rated ahead of you. He was a 97.
Tony, probably Todd Heap.
Yep, he was. He was a 95.
Man, Algie better not been in front of me.
He was.
Damn, Algie.
He was. Algie Crumpler was in front of you. He was a 96. That's a really good rating, by the way, for Algie Crumpler.
How many is that, four?
That's three of them.
Three.
You got Tony, Algie, and Todd Heap.
Oh, Shock?
Shock was ahead of you. He was a 97. Jeremy Shockey. I think there's one that's going to bother you. And I didn't know if Algie would or not. You mentioned it. Didn't bother you, but that's your buddy. Yeah.
That's my band. Witten wasn't, was he?
Witten was. Actually, you guys had the same rating. You okay. And Witten had the same. You were both with 92.
I'm about to get irritated because
I mean, the one guy is obvious. You end up, you played with him eventually.
Oh, Gates. Yeah.
Gates was number one. He was a 99.
Okay.
And then there's one other guy, and he was the second highest rated tight end in the NFL going into the 2007 season. Gates had a 99. This guy had a 98, ahead of Jeremy Shockey, ahead of Tony Gonzalez, ahead of all the other tight ends.
What year was that?
2007. So coming out of the 06 season.
It wasn't Kellen, was it?
Nope, wasn't Kellen.
Was it Cooley?
It was Chris Cooley. Chris Cooley with a rating of 98.
Oh, no, Cooley could ball, though.
I know.
Yeah, Cooley could ball. Okay. All right, okay, well, all right, cool.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You got all of them.
I mean, yeah, I remember every tight end was drafted in front of me. So, I mean, you know.
Can you name them?
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Why not?
I get upset about it. now that's a list I get upset
Which
about.
Which one do you get most upset about?
Doug Damn Jolly. Doug Damn Jolly. And Keith Schobel. And Chris Baker. And Jeremy Stevens. And
Jeremy
Daniel
Stevens
Graham,
was a first round
Daniel
drafter.
Daniel Graham. Yeah. And Justin Peele. Yeah.
Wow, how many were there?
Seven, eight.
Wow. Because Brady's got that list. There was I think, six quarterbacks taken before Brady, right, when he was drafted in the sixth round.
That's the list I get upset about. Well, but the thing about it is, I outlasted all of them.
Yeah, you had a better career than all those guys. I bet none of those guys were ever once rated 92 in Madden rankings.
Oh, no, they weren't.
Anyway, you did good. You named all of the guys.
He just texted. Chris Cooley was okay. But, see, Chris wasn't the inline blocker. They would let Chris run routes and everything. And that's how he would get downfield. Thank you, Hugh.
He just didn't last very long.
Yeah, Hugh said he was not better than Randy. Thank you, Hugh. I do appreciate you.
He did, better than Randy. Chris Cooley was okay.
Yeah, Chris Cooley was okay, but no, that's the year when Gates came. I think Gates had like 14 touchdowns that year. That's the year he came. The year 06 was when he came into his own.
Yeah.
And he had like 14 damn touchdowns that year.
Is he going to play in the NFL this year?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Like
I talked to him last year before
the season. It seemed like he wasn't last year and then he did.
I talked to him last year before the season. He was still undecided because him and the Chargers had some issues.
Right.
If he comes back, I don't think he's going to be with the Chargers.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be charged.
That'd be crazy to see him in another uniform. That'd be one of those ones that you remember, guys that just don't look right in other jerseys. He would definitely be one of those. Other rookie rankings that are out, Quinnen Williams got an 80. Ed Oliver got a 79. Nick Bosa got a 78. So there you go with that. We'll get to the list season in just a minute because we've got a handful of other lists to get to, not just Madden rankings. Kareem Hunt was in another incident, I suppose. The Browns know about it. Yeah. I really don't know what's going to happen with this situation. He's already suspended for 8 games to start the season.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I saw the video. It just looked like he was trying to explain to the police what happened. From what I've read, it's like he's not really actually involved in it. And I heard Hugh and I agree. I mean, yeah, it's your offseason. Yeah, go out and have a good time. But if you're in a situation with like he's in – maybe go to the beach and sit down on the lawn chair or something. But, you know, try and stay away from that kind of situation because the blowback is going to come because of the fact that you're already suspended 8 games for what you did to that young lady. So, yeah, he needs to chill.
Yeah, that was my thought process.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell him not to live his life. Live your life, man.
I'm never one to get up here and say, oh, you're this right now. The narrative about you is this, so don't go to a bar. You know, do what you want to do. Just try to be smart.
Right.
But when you do that and you put yourself into the public eye like that, you put yourself in a situation where you might end up being questioned like he was.
Yes.
And then you're being talked about this time of year. Because like we always say.
Don't end up on the ticker.
This is the 5-week period of time in the NFL season where you don't want to be talked about. And the nice thing is we haven't really been talking about anybody around here, which is good. Don't want to jinx it. Knock on wood. Not trying to jinx anything.
Jinxed it last year.
Didn't jinx anything.
The Falcons are the only team that doesn't have anybody on the IR coming into training camp. Then everybody started dropping like flies.
Okay, I take blame for that. I did do that.
Yes.
I did have a part in jinxing that.
Yes.
But I didn't jinx anybody getting in trouble.
Oh, no.
Nobody got in any trouble.
Nobody got in any trouble.
So that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, injuries are a part of football that you can't predict. You know that.
I agree, but it happened.
Did you play in the NFL?
It happened to too many of the Falcons' key players because, how about this? The Falcons are the only team in the league coming with nobody on the IR.
You can blame.
I kept saying,
me and Wendy for that.
And I kept saying it.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show week one, the second segment of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show week one, the headline was, the Falcons are the healthiest team in the NFL headed into the season.
I was like, don't do that.
But they were, and then they very quickly weren't. All right, one more thing. Ezekiel Elliott is meeting with Roger Goodell today. We talked about it yesterday as to whether or not there's a personal nature to this with Jerry Jones and Goodell and everything that happened over the last couple of years. I hope not. Leave Zeke out of it. Zeke doesn't have anything to do with that. It's not Zeke's fault that Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell don't get along. Don't bring him into this. This thing here seems like nothing. This is very similar to what the Kareem Hunt situation is.
It does seem like nothing. And the security guard, he did do a little flop. Zeke did not push him that hard. But at the same time, Zeke is another one of those guys. Like, it's always something. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't no they put the handcuffs on, but he's not going to jail for this. But it's just like your name associated with something else other than just playing football. Again, go out there, have you a good time and all that, but just relax, man. I mean, but – yeah, but I don't know. I honestly, I don't know what Roger's gonna do. I honestly don't.
Neither do I.
Yeah, and I don't even think
no
Zeke
one does
knows.
Because it's Roger Goodell. Yeah, it's completely unpredictable.
You don't know what he's gonna do, and I don't think it'd be a suspension or a fine or anything. I think he just wants to talk to him. But yeah, I don't know. I'm really curious what Roger does or what he says.
All right, it's that time of the NFL No Huddle. We do it every single day. It's list season.
Did we get a sounder for
this? We got some production made for it. We figure we're doing it every single day. We might as well have Steve put something together for us.
Did we do it for the beginning?
No, that's asking too much.
Did we do it for our opening?
That's asking too much. Don't do that. All right, I got two lists for you, okay? You ready?
Uh-huh.
Ranking the divisions by quarterback talent. We did this before in terms of running back talent, right, and the NFC South was number three. Guess where the NFC South is in terms of divisional rankings by quarterback? And this is according to Daniel Jeremiah, who we had on the radio program just last week.
Quarterback-wise?
Yeah, quarterbacks.
Number one.
Correct.
Yeah, number one.
Correct.
Yeah. Not even close, really, is.
The NFC North is the second-rated division in terms of quarterbacks.
What Mitchell Trubisky done? What Kirk Cousins have done? But Matt Stafford, he's a dog, but so let me know what I'm supposed to know. Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the reason why why they're number
Matthew Stafford's a hell of a quarterback too. If he didn't play for the Lions, and Mitch Trubisky can get another year, and Kirk Cousins. I mean, if you want to go price tag, oh hell yeah.
Well, it's fully guaranteed, Randy. Yeah, the money's fully guaranteed.
Yeah, you want to go price tag? Yeah, you got it.
AFC West is third. NFC West is fourth. AFC North is fifth. AFC South is sixth. AFC East is seventh. And the NFC East is the worst division in the NFL in terms of quarterbacks.
NFC East?
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that.
Yeah, but AFC South with Luck and Deshaun?
They're sixth.
Okay, never mind, because you got Nick Foles and then you got
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see about that. All right, and then CBS Sports did a quarterback list. They ranked the quarterbacks 1 through 10. Where do you think Matt Ryan came in terms of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? Do we already talk about this before the show? Do you already know this?
Since you told me
Dang
in
it.
Bullpen, he's number 9.
Correct.
Yeah, I have no problem if you look at the guys that are in front of me, and could you please read the guys that are in front of him?
Yeah, I'll read off the guys that are in front of him. You want me to go 1 through 8 or 8 to 1?
It doesn't matter.
Descending or ascending?
Just,
tell me.
Man, just read the list.
I just want to know. Do you want me to count down or count up?
Just read the list. Down,
Randy,
Andy.
It's list season. It's list season.
Andy, count her down.
It's incredibly important that we treat every single list with equal respect.
Man, just count down.
All right, I'll count down.
Thank you.
Number 8 is Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, I don't think Ben is better than Matt.
Matt Ryan's better than Ben Roethlisberger. Number 7 is Philip Rivers.
I'd never, ever put Matt in front of Philip.
Really? Because he played with him?
Yes.
And Philip Rivers is really good.
He's a hell of a quarterback.
I like Matt Ryan better than Philip Rivers. Andrew Luck is number 6.
Not a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. Drew Brees is number 5.
No problem.
I think Matt Ryan's better than Drew Brees right now.
Okay.
There might have been a period of time where Drew Brees might have been better, but that period of time is over with, and Matt Ryan is better than Drew Brees right now. Russell Wilson is number 4.
I like that because I like that people are giving Russell his due.
It took a long time to get here.
It took a long
time to get here. You know what Russell Wilson had to do to get here?
Damn near.
He had to get beat up so bad for 3 seasons, which is so dumb.
Yeah.
Obviously he's better now because he's older and he's played in that offense for longer and he's just a better all-around quarterback.
Yeah.
He was a really good quarterback before,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was.
But, he just threw the ball 20 times a game.
That's okay. And last year, they were the number one run team in the league, too.
They were?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They just split carries between five different guys because everybody was hurt every single week.
I think Russ Wilson is a top five.
Yes, he's a very good quarterback. There's no question about it. Yes. My thing is just he's always been a really good quarterback. You don't have to throw the ball 40 or 50 times a game.
Yeah, you do. It's all about fantasy,
in order to be one of those quarterbacks. Fantasy. And you're right. That's my problem with it is because if you don't put up fantasy numbers, you don't get the respect. That I think that's silly. That gets back to the same thing that I say about Jake Fromm whenever we talk about him. Everybody wants to talk about how because UGA has been so run-heavy in his first two seasons that, well, Jake must be this or he must be that.
Right.
He did the job he was asked to do, and he's done it at an incredibly high level. Look at the efficiency rating that Jake Fromm has had in his first two seasons
really
at UGA.
Good. It's been really good. But, no, I think Russell is a hell of a quarterback, and he is a guy that carries that whole franchise on his shoulders.
He does.
He carries it.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does. That's why he continues to be paid the most money in the entire NFL whenever it's time for him to come up and get a contract. Number three, this is where it gets interesting.
Uh-huh.
The third best quarterback in the NFL, according to this list, this CBS Sports list, is Tom Brady.
Ooh, no.
Three?
No.
Three?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Tom Brady's number one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the NFL until he's not.
I mean, I know Patrick Mahomes is probably number two.
No,
I mean,
Patrick Mahomes is number one.
Yeah, his talent is undeniable. But let me see you do it again, Pimpin. All right, let me see you do it again. All right, that's just disrespect to Tom Brady right there.
Aaron Rodgers is number two. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is number one. Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, Aaron's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. Just pure just talent. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. But the best quarterback ever, it's Tom Brady. And ain't nobody on that list, as far as you talk about all-time great, close to him. Because you got other guys before them.
And I understand. I mean, there was times, I guess, in the last couple seasons where Brady's arm strength has been questioned or there's been downticks in some of his production. I mean,
what does the dude do?
They won the Super Bowl last year, didn't they?
Yes.
And they went to the Super Bowl the year before that, didn't they?
Yes.
And I think they won the Super Bowl the year before that,
they
too.
Did.
So I don't know. I know that this is fun for people at the beginning of seasons to make lists like this and try to get people riled up. And maybe they did that. Maybe they accomplished that
goal.
You
riled up.
Deshaun Watson was number 10, by the way.
That's good. Deshaun was number 10.
He's number 10.
Wow. Good for him.
I'd have Matt probably at number 5.
Good for him.
Maybe at number 4.
Deshaun at 10. I don't see anybody in front of him.
Stafford?
Nate, where Steph's 11 probably.
They don't have it. It's only the top 10.
Yeah, Steph probably number
11. I have
11.
No idea who comes in at number 11. Yeah. All right, we'll come back and get to what Ronald Acuna is set to do over the next couple of weeks. We know he's an all-star starter, deservedly. We also know he's in the home run derby, and that has a lot of people worried maybe, uneasy maybe. Not me. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you why coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Making your workday a little more tolerable.
So just listen.
It's Andy and Randy.
Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Coming up in 20 minutes, the Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams. In studio, working microphone and everything. You know what's interesting? We were talking about this yesterday. Whether it's interesting is, I guess, up to people, and they can let us know. But here's something that happened yesterday that we talked about on the show.
What's that?
Remember at the end they were working on the doors?
Yes, they were breaking. Yeah, while we're on the air, yes.
They made it so it seems like the producers are locked in the producer's studio now.
Right.
So not only are they locked in, not only do the microphones not work, they're locked in the producer's studio now. So just another way to make sure that none of them say anything on the radio ever.
I told you why.
It's a hell of a thing.
It's a hell of a thing, isn't it?
What? Why did he do it?
Because, I told you, Wendy was coming here too much.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, I gotta keep Wendy off the air.
We got to break her out of there
next
segment to get her in here to do the Wendy Zone.
Yeah.
Coming up in 20 minutes.
Like, what, they got to use the bathroom or something?
It's basically, no, don't do that. You ever see Bo Johnson? Bo Johnson running the board today. Wendy Adams producing the show. You ever seen Bo Johnson get up from that chair during the show?
No.
He has not.
He does not move.
Remember what we talked about yesterday at the end of the show in the AMA about weirdest places you've ever peed?
Yeah.
And I said like a 2-liter bottle in the back of the car? I think that's what Bo does during the show.
You know what I think about it? Well, while you're saying that, what about the overnight guys?
I know.
Dude, I'm talking about you can't eat or nothing.
Like get a catheter set up in there, basically, and just hang out. Doesn't sound like a good situation, but hey, that's where we've got to here at 92.9 The Game. Anyway, we'll get to the Wendy Zone, hopefully. It'll be Mission Impossible. We'll try to get Wendy in here coming up in 20 minutes. Before we get there, obviously a big series starting tonight for the Braves. We talked a lot about the the Dallas Keuchel angle of it. First start for Dallas Keuchel in Atlanta. Grew up as a Braves fan. It's against the Phillies. It's a big series. It's a big night tonight. We'll get back to all of that in just a minute. I also think we're right sort of standing on the verge of a really big couple weeks for the Braves because of the All-Star game right. And because of Ronald Acuña. I think that he's already gained a lot of acclaim in the baseball world. I think it's really hard to get outside of just the baseball world for a star of the game right now because of the way that the game markets itself, because of the general popularity of baseball in certain cities is just not quite the same as NFL football or NBA basketball is right now, especially with younger players. But I think Ronald Acuña has a chance over the next couple weeks to take himself from where he is right now and elevate his name even further. We already know about Ronald Acuña. We're very familiar with this here in Atlanta.
Swing and a high towering fly ball left. Pretty deep. McNeil back to the wall. Leaping try. Lead off homer. 1-0.
High fly ball. That's well hit toward left center field. At the track. At the wall. It is gone. Acuña hits a home run.
There's that right center field swing you were talking about. And it is gone. I think you deserve to watch that one. He did watch it.
And he's fearless.
Swing and a high fly ball. Deep left. It's a grand slam.
That's just a compilation of Ronald Acuña awesome moments from this season, courtesy of Fox Sports South and ESPN in there. We know all that, though, Randy. We see it every single night. We talk about it. We know that he's a star in baseball right now.
Yes.
But what I'm talking about is elevating his name to a different type of level. And that's a big part of the reason why I'm excited that he's in the home run derby. He's going to be isolated with six other guys on a night where nothing else is happening in baseball, nothing else is happening in sports that night, and he goes out there and shows the because to me, especially in baseball, and in every sport, but in baseball particularly, because a lot of times there's a language barrier with certain guys, the ability to speak the language doesn't matter as much. People make a big deal out of that.
It doesn't.
To me, it's about talent, and it's about personality that you show on the field. It's about flair. And if you have those things, which Ronald Acuña absolutely does, then you can become a star in Major League Baseball. I think you could become a star in any sport off that stuff. But that's why I'm so excited about him being in the home run derby, because as great as we have it right now, and there are some great players in Atlanta sports right now.
Yes.
I don't think there's anybody that gets quite the credit that they deserve, because I don't think that there's anybody that has the flair that some superstars have. Julio Jones is amazing.
Yes.
He's kind of quiet.
He's just like to chill, man.
He's
real chill.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if he was different than that, he'd probably be seen slightly differently in terms of his star power. Matt Ryan, same thing. Freddie Freeman, same thing. Again, there's nothing wrong. Be who you are.
Right. But don't. Well, you don't have to worry about those three guys because they're not worried about if you like them a lot. They're not worried about accolades and all that. They just go out there and do their damn job.
Which is great because that's who they are.
And Ronald, I'm not saying Ronald looks for the attention, but he's a flair guy. You know, I'm looking at this Bleacher Report thing they had early in the baseball season. Top players on 25. He's number 2 on the list. You know, he's behind Alex Bregman of the Astros. I mean, the guy he's amazing. He has everything that you want in a baseball player. He's young. He's has that flair about him. You know, he likes to wear his chains dangling and is chewing his gum and popping bubbles and all that. I mean, he deserves everything he's gotten right now. I just worry about it. That's it. Okay, I'm just worried about the home run derby. I just don't want him to mess up nothing. All right. And last time a young stud was in the home run derby, what did it do? Please tell the people, Andy, what did it do?
Who are you? Who? Aaron Judge?
Yes.
I guess he hit less home runs after.
Yes. He struggled mightily.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. We've seen guys go into the home run derby and struggle a little bit afterwards, I suppose. And I guess it's possible if Ronald Acuña does that. I don't know. I'm just not worried about it like that. Even if he does, if he wins the home run derby, I'll take like a week or two of Ronald Acuña struggling for the long-term impact of what that would mean for Ronald Acuña.
Hell no. He goes, what about the long-term impact of what did that do for the dead 2019 Braves?
They could still win if they could still win if he struggles for a minute.
I don't like the rationale of that. I'll take an individual success of Ronald Acuña, who, if he wouldn't have played, if he wouldn't have been in this All-Star game home run derby, would still be that dude, over the fact that our team might struggle.
Well, I didn't say the team struggle.
If he struggles, they might struggle.
Ronald Acuña can have, because he's going to have dips this season. He's had dips this season. And the team's still, the offense is so good, I think, that they could still get around without him. But here's the thing, though. Like, we're talking about it as if there's two options. And that's what I don't understand about this. You can both participate in the home run derby and have success afterwards.
I didn't say
we've seen
could.
A lot of guys do that before.
I did not say that you couldn't, Andy, but can you guarantee me that?
Yeah.
You can guarantee me
that.
Yeah,
100%.
If he goes out here and he does his thing in his home run derby, everything's going to be okay.
No, I can't guarantee
you. Okay,
that.
Then. That's what I'm saying. Can you guarantee me
that? Can you guarantee me that if he doesn't participate in the home run derby, that he's going to continue to be the exact same in the second half of the season?
I bet I can.
Can you?
I bet I'm closer to mine than you are to yours.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm closer to I'm closer to wanting to see Ronald Acuña in front of the country like this, isolated as one of the six guys participating in the home run derby, than I am to being worried about it. And I'm not. And look, people can be worried about it if they want. It just seems like a flash in the pan thing to care about.
It does.
Because I know Aaron Judge, I guess something happened to him afterwards, and Bryce Harper, I guess. But like, we've had home run derbies for 30 years.
We have.
And we've never thought about this before.
But
Ken Griffey Jr. won the home run derby 5 times and
now.
Was great
but
in the second half
of
the
different
season.
Different era of player.
Are we?
Of athlete. Come on now. Come on, Andy.
Okay.
We are. You know that. You know
okay.
That. You do know that.
But
right?
What's different about the era?
Softness.
Because softness.
Mentally,
okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I thought, okay, because I was wondering what you were
like
going to say.
The game or something is
but
different?
Well, the game is different.
The game is different.
The game is different. But here's how the game's different to me, and this is why it's less of a big deal,
uh-huh.
Is because guys already swing to try to hit home runs
they
all the
do.
Time.
They do. But, you know, in the home run derby, sometimes you got to change your bat angle and all the launch point, all that. All right, so you might get in the game, and you still might be thinking you're in a home run derby, trying to change stuff.
But is not baseball already a home run derby?
It
like,
is.
There's going to be 1,000 more home runs.
Bell yesterday for the Pirates.
Dude, he hit 3 home runs last night.
Gracious.
Craig Kimbrell was throwing batting practice
yes,
last night at the Pirates, by the way. He was out there just getting lit up like a pinata, which was great if you're one that, you know, is petty and roots against guys that didn't sign with your team, which I am. But
are you
to
sure he didn't sign or they didn't offer him?
They probably didn't offer him.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't stop. That's the great thing about pettiness, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be rational.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the other thing about fanhood. You don't have to be rational. And maybe it's rational to not want Ronald Acuña to be in the home run derby. Possibly, I guess. But if it makes me irrational to want him to be on that stage, then call me irrational because I think he's got a chance over the next couple of weeks this season. And look, he's 21 years old. He's got a long time to be a star in baseball. There's a mantle right now, though, that needs another star. Like,
oh,
Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. He doesn't want to be up there.
Yes.
Bryce Harper wants to be up there, but he's not as good as these guys.
Correct.
Aaron Judge is hurt all the time. Giancarlo Stanton's hurt all the time. Who are the other guys right now?
You got
there's other really good players out there. Ronald Acuña could be that guy.
Bellinger, all
sure.
These guys, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you got guys now. I mean, this game, and we always talk about baseball as far as, you know, they talk about the demographic, who's watching it and all these things. They got a lot of young stars.
They do.
And I'm looking at this list right now. You look at it, this list are some of the best players in all of baseball, and none of them are 25 yet. So the baseball, as far as talent-wise, is in a good spot because they got a lot of young. Their job is to market those guys because they have to find out how to do that.
Let me ask it to you this way, because I agree with everything that you just said. Literally everything that you just said, I agree with. Baseball is in a great spot in terms of the young talent that's being brought into the game right now. And I think we're even seeing guys come up and have more success at a younger age right now than we have in quite some time because baseball really seems interested in getting these guys up as soon as they can.
Yes.
because of team control.
Right.
You keep them, you have them up there for 6 years of control, and you can actually get 6 years of them being productive on your major league team. That's better for you financially. You've got Vlad Jr., you've got Ronald Acuña Jr., you've got Bellinger, like you mentioned, you got Seager out there in Los Angeles as well. You've got a lot of really good young players, maybe arguably, comparably, one of the best crops of young players that you've had. Do you have any great young stars, though? Does baseball have any young stars right now?
Are you talking stars as far as being marketed or their play?
Marketed.
No.
In terms of somebody wanting to wear their jersey?
No.
Do you think that you could have...
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as like... Are you saying
outside of
their local market? No.
Is there a baseball player that even has a shoe right now?
No, probably not.
Like, there was guys that had shoes back
then. The Griffey,
day.
Yeah.
Griffey had shoes.
Yeah.
Frank Thomas had shoes.
Who are they? But see, those guys were like mega stars.
But why?
because you had like because they were different. Like you had Ken Griffey, he was the kid. He was all this. Frank Thomas, he was just a specimen, but that can ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, they're athletic and all that, but do they have that same type appeal as those guys? And I'm talking about away from the diamond. And to me, I don't think baseball does a good enough job with these kids to show that. Like you said, Mike Trout is the best player in ball that don't want to be that guy. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. He likes to be chill. Be who you are. But some of these other guys, you need to market them a little bit.
I think Ronald Acuña being who Ronald Acuña is could be someone like that.
He loves it.
Because, again, like thinking back to who Ken Griffey Jr. was when he was at his peak, I don't remember anything that he said. Didn't have anything to do with really his personality off the field.
Who, Ken?
Yeah. It had to do with everything to do with his personality on the field.
Okay.
The way that he played the game on the field. I don't remember Ken Griffey Jr. ever having a quote that was worth anything. But the way he played was fantastic.
And that's what it said. I mean, and Ronald has that kind of free-flowing, fun spirit to him like Ken Griffey did.
And you know what Ken Griffey Jr. did when he was 21 years old? He won the Home Run Derby. So maybe Ronald Acuña can do the same thing.
Ken Griffey was going to be big even if he didn't win that.
That's true.
He had the sweetest swing ever.
Ronald's going to be big no matter whether he wins it or not.
Sweetest swing
Griffey might have been 22. I'm not sure. Griffey might have been 22.
Hey, if it fits your narrative, then he was 21.
He was young, all right? He was young. I think my narrative's fine.
That's fine.
I don't think it's a bad narrative.
Market these young boys, man. Market them because they deserve it.
Let him be a star.
And it'll make the game more fun.
I agree with you on that, absolutely. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone if we can break Wendy out of the studio. Coming up next, we'll also get to the most important audio in the world, top of the 12 o'clock hour, and half an hour away from your chance to win a pair of Atlanta United tickets. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Wendy Zone, 11:40 here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We were able to sneak her out of the studio.
It really is so bizarre. So the handle doesn't actually move. So you feel like when you go to pull but there is a handle on the door in the producer's studio. So when you go to pull on the handle to turn it down like you normally would a door, it doesn't move. So you feel like you're locked.
Feels locked.
So you're having to pull the door. I'm like, what if I panicked?
Right. You're just not used to it yet. It's a pull or push type of situation, I guess.
Then just don't put a hand. Why don't you put one of those door handles on there so it would like open, like, you know, when you open the door, not just like a pull down lever handle.
I don't understand it at all.
It's very interesting.
Add it to the list of mysteries here at 92.9 The Game.
Add it.
It's a long, fun list.
It's great.
Hi, Wendy.
We should do like a bingo game with it one day. All right, 4th of July is on Thursday. And I know a lot of people are going to be doing their barbecues. I'm a giant fan of food. So I found a list on one of my favorite websites because why not just start talking about food? It's called Thrillist. They ranked the 30 popular cookout and barbecue sides from best to worst.
Okay.
And in my opinion,
sides. Okay.
In my opinion, the potato salad on the list is ranked way too low.
Who made
potato salad?
Who made the potato salad?
What do you mean who made the potato salad?
Just like I said, who made the potato salad?
Your Aunt Pam. Aunt Pam made the potato salad.
There's no bad potato salad.
Yes, there is.
Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah, there's bad potato salad.
No, you just add salt and it tastes great.
Some potato salad is unsalvageable.
Did you just say add salt and it's okay?
Yeah. I mean, I love all types of potato salad.
I mean, I agree with you that there are different types that are good. But there are definitely some types that are bad.
Well, maybe I've been exposed to the bad ones.
Yeah, lucky you. Lucky you. Because I've been around some very...
Raggedy potato salad.
The more creative you get, the more bad it gets to me.
Yes. Okay.
Like, there's a very simple solution.
Don't get cute with potato salad.
And if somebody puts raisins in it, then you have to make them leave your barbecue.
Sorry.
Raisins and potato... That's
you
not
got
potato
to go.
Salad.
People
yeah.
do it, though.
You
got
to go home.
But
people
see, this
do
is
it.
Very important for people to know for their 4th of July barbecues. If you're going to do any of these sides, we're giving you really good advice, especially if this is your first 4th of July party. So any guesses on what the top five are?
Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese came in at number 3. Which is still, I don't
know. Really? Macaroni?
Corn?
So they have elote on the list that
Who?
Came...
What?
A what?
Which is corn covered in like butter and all of the.
I never called it that. I just called it corn on the cob with butter on it.
Well, it's essentially corn on the cob covered with like Parmesan cheese and like. Have you not had?
No, that sounds pretty good.
What?
It's pretty. Elote.
That's number one?
No, it's number 4.
Oh, that's number 4? Who the hell made this list?
Trust me, corn on the cob came in at number 6. Don't kill the messenger. I did not make the list. Maybe we should come up with our own list.
No.
No, we're going to come
up with our own list. But this is one of those great things where, I mean, there's
the culture.
There are going to be cultural differences, and it's beautiful. Let's keep going, because the cultural differences, we've just gotten started.
Okay, should I give you just...
Mac and cheese was number 3?
Mac and cheese is number 3.
What's baked beans?
Hold on, let me just go find, because I don't think baked beans is in the top 10.
Really?
What?
Wow. Okay.
All right, no. Baked beans is number 8.
Okay. Well,
number 8.
Should still be in the top 5.
Just tell me what's number 1.
That's like the disrespect of putting Matt Ryan at number 9.
Yeah. Here, I'll go from 10 to 1.
Okay. Matt Ryan really is the baked beans of sides at a cookout.
But I really feel like double...
top 5, not number 1,
well,
but top 5.
Well, eggs are still outside the top 10.
Eggs should be in the top 3.
That's what I'm saying.
What's number 1,
okay,
Randy?
Okay, here. We'll start with number 10.
Oh, what's number 1 on my list?
Yeah.
For 4th of July?
Yeah.
I like greens.
Greens?
Yes.
The collards came in
at... greens.
Holy. Oh.
Yeah, a white person made this list.
What the hell is going on?
Collards.
What's number 1?
If collards aren't on the list.
Collards are 14?
They're
14.
Okay, 14.
Yeah, that's a white person.
Here, I'm going to give you the top 10, and then you guys can argue.
Okay. Someone named Brad made this list.
But this is a top 30 list. So, tomato salad came in at number 10.
What kind of salad?
Tomato salad.
Tomato salad?
So apparently it's all the different types. I don't know, Randy. I didn't make the list. Stop yelling at me. Number 9, cornbread.
Well, you can move that up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Number 8, baked
beans. I love cornbread, but I don't necessarily need cornbread at a 4th of July cookout. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I love it, but I don't need it. It's not a must-have.
Okay. Number 8, baked beans.
Okay.
Number 7, fruit salad.
I like fruit salad.
No, I'm good on
but
that.
But it shouldn't have been in the top 10.
I like, it doesn't need to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
But if somebody, fruit salad to me is just a whole bunch of fruit in a bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't need yogurt or marshmallows in it. None of that stuff.
No, whipped cream.
No, just fruit. Yeah. That's all I need. Just give me some fruit.
Number 6, corn on the cob. Number 5, biscuits.
All right.
Number 4, elote.
Biscuits?
Biscuits. I know,
biscuits
Randy.
And cornbread are, to me...
Cornbread's better than biscuits.
For a cookout, I agree.
Make that look at you. You take biscuits over cornbread.
It depends on the situation.
What situation is that? If I wanted like a chicken biscuit, okay, but cornbread, cornbread's better than biscuits.
But you could put your like a piece of meat on the biscuit, though, and gnaw down on it.
I'm just thinking, like, if you just a general any day of the week circumstance,
okay.
Somebody made a good meat on the grill, whatever it would be, ribs, steak, whatever, something good.
Okay.
You got meat, you got some side, potato salad, whatever your side's going to be, collard greens, potato, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And would I rather have a biscuit or would I rather have cornbread?
Cornbread?
It really depends on the meat.
Cornbread.
I don't know.
Because here's the thing about it, when you got the greens,
Cornbread sops up the green juice
the
very well.
The biscuit ain't good with the sopping.
That's true. That's a good point.
All right, number 4 is elote, which is the corn covered in the butter, the chili.
I ain't never heard of elote.
It's so good.
Really?
I would definitely recommend it. Never in my life
heard of that.
It's really good. If you haven't made it, you should try
it.
All right, number 3, mac and cheese.
Okay.
Number 2, watermelon.
No problem with that at all.
And number 1, potato chips.
Potato chips.
Potato chips.
See, I don't really consider that a side.
I don't consider watermelon a side.
I don't consider watermelon a side either. It's just kind of there.
It's an appetizer. Like, it's just kind of there.
You're eating it at all times.
Yeah, you cut it up and then, everybody walks by, you grab your piece
of watermelon. Yeah, like I've probably eaten my fill of watermelon before I make my actual plate with all the stuff on it. Because I've had 5-6 pieces of watermelon before it's time to really eat.
And this list really disrespected coleslaw and potato salad because at 17 and 16, I really thought that they would be higher on the list.
See, I don't eat a lot of coleslaw either.
I don't like coleslaw, personally. My Aunt Judy ruined it for me. Aunt Judy made really bad coleslaw when I was a kid. She's not listening. Sorry. We can talk openly about Aunt Judy. Okay.
Sorry, Aunt Judy.
Now, I've had good coleslaw since then, but just because... coleslaw in my mind is associated with that nasty mess that Aunt Judy used to bring over.
Nasty mess.
Now in my mind, that's what coleslaw is to me.
I mean, that tato salad, I've always learned that you can't eat everybody's. And every time I've went out on a limb and tried somebody else's potato salad, it just wasn't right.
I have to apologize to Brad. Brad tweeted in. He said, "I speak for all Brads. We did not make this list. My bad, Brad."
But like I said, certainly like collard greens, you can't go wrong with them, man.
Do they have a name of the person who made it? Is the person's name Becky?
It's the staffers from Thrillist.
Tell me again, what's that corn thing called?
Elote.
Elote.
I mean, it sounds good.
It is
It's just corn
just
on the cob?
Look up the picture.
I got to learn how to spell
it's
it
It's got
first.
Like some chili, butter, like
chili,
cheese.
Like spicy chili.
Spicy chili on the corn?
That sounds like, because Carlos Bocanegra, whenever he's on the morning show and they ask him about grilling, he always talks about grilling corn.
Here, I have a picture.
I like grilling corn.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, I love grilling corn.
It's delicious.
Yes.
You know what we did the other night? We made a flank steak and marinated it in some.
Yeah, that don't look.
That looks amazing.
No, it don't.
Oh, yes, it does.
Oh, no.
That looks really good to me. I would eat that.
On the grill? By the way,
here go Chris. Cornbread isn't better than Red Lobster biscuits. Okay, ain't too many things better than Red Lobster biscuits.
Well, no one's making Red Lobster biscuits.
They probably don't have Red Lobster biscuits,
at the cookout, Chris.
Right. You're having whatever biscuits come from the oven or from the pack from the grocery store.
Yeah.
By the way, we just need to call out John Fricke.
Potato
this
chips?
Morning in the bullpen, it's food related because we were talking about Arby's because they, I guess, had a discussion on the air between Arby's, Chick-fil-A, and fast food. So John had this fun fact that he gave at least me and Andy. Randy, I'm not sure if you heard it or not.
Yeah.
Okay, you heard him too. He said Arby's stands for the initials roast beef.
Yeah.
So get it? Arby's. He's wrong.
Oh, he's wrong?
Because I tweeted the fun fact because my mind was blown.
False information being spread by John Fricke.
So, but it's based on the initials of the Raffel brothers, R-A-F-F-E-L, who opened the first restaurant in Ohio. It does not stand for roast beef.
Y'all believed him?
I did.
I did.
Oh,
I tweeted it.
I did believe it.
It was a fun fact.
I didn't believe him.
I tweeted it. I was like mind blown because we were wondering where the name Arby's
came from. Jalen just, elote is Mexican corn.
Okay.
Okay. And it's covered in mayo.
Sounds really good to me.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, okay.
It's now, do you cook it with,
now? Because I'm looking at you, so you keep the shuck on it, right? Or do you?
I think you probably take the husk off.
Husk. I said shuck.
Or,
husk.
Or you could take the husk.
You shuck the husk.
You shuck the husk.
Or you can keep it on. Just pull it.
I know people.
I know the people
actually keep it on. And
oh yeah, you could do that because that'll steam it basically.
But
on the grill.
I'd be too weird. Everything be.
No, I get it because if the husk gets too dry, it catches on fire. I like to just wrap it in tinfoil and let it simmer like that.
I put tinfoil and season the corn in there a little bit.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Elote, I mean, I might try elote.
You just let me know how it tastes.
Oh, and somebody would like to inform us that you can buy Red Lobster biscuits at the store.
Where? Tell me where.
Any store.
I'll
you can buy some at Kroger?
Go to Publix.
Oh, Kroger? Really?
I think so.
Now, they don't taste as good as that one, though.
Yeah, you don't know how to make it quite like the lady at Red Lobster
does. I'm sure you can put them in the oven, but no.
Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome for
food debates are always
and
the
both
best.
Said it's pretty both said that it's pretty close. The Red Lobster biscuits from the stove.
Oh, really?
Some up today.
All right, good.
Well, damn, I can't eat them.
Damn keto. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, join 92.9 The Game this Wednesday. That's tomorrow, starting at 7 at Varner's Restaurant and Tavern in Smyrna for the Atlanta United versus Chicago watch party. I live in Smyrna. Maybe I could go by and watch the game over there. I love Smyrna's the best. All right, coming up next, we'll get to the most important audio in the world, including what Randy's buddy George Foster is talking about right here.
They look like a freaking great wall. It's definitely the biggest line I've ever seen pro college.
Now you know. He's talking about the line. They look like a freaking great wall. What team, though? Who knows? We'll find out next in the most important audio in the world to kick off the 12 o'clock hour right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.